Well, we've been going through the series of the 16 fundamental truths, and in doing that, we've been going through each one each week, having different teachers, and so tonight, we're skipping ahead, and then we're going back because Nicole Fairchild, our children's pastor, is going to speak tonight, but she has got a special thing planned for the kids, and so she's going to speak next week. So we're going to talk about divine healing, which is one of my favorite. Matter of fact, when you're going through the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God, there are literally four cardinal doctrines. They take all 16 and they said, that's an awful lot, so what can we do differently? So what they decided to do is they said, we're going to pull out four of them and we're going to say these are the most, the cardinal doctrines that we believe in the most, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and the blessed hope. And so the divine healing is one of our cardinal doctrines. And so it's exciting, but just before we even dive in, because I've got a lot of scriptures tonight. As a matter of fact, I got a headache studying. There was so much material on divine healing. I don't know how people don't believe in divine healing. And I'm going to stick around the New Testament, but we're going to cover some things in the Old Testament. But that's okay. I got homework for you later. It's going to be great. No big deal, right? No big deal. I decided I can't teach it all, so I'll just hand you stuff so you get things home. And what you're going to be going home with later is the Assemblies of God did write an official paper on divine healing, talking about what they believe, why they believe it. It's quite a few pages long, so I printed it out for you to take home and read. You can follow the scripture. Great reading, especially if you're needing healing. It's great to understand why we believe it, first of all. And the second thing I got is I thought one of the things that's so powerful for so many people, especially those who have fought the fight against cancer and different diseases, is praying the scriptures. And so I gave you several scriptures of scriptures you can pray for divine healing. And there's several. And Miss Joan, you'd be proud because I used a lot of the Amplified version. Several of these. So you're going to be going home with each one of these sheets tonight so you can pray the scriptures for healing. And the other one is about the Assemblies of God stance on divine healing, because I'll tell you, I can teach, but I'm not a good teacher. I'm a much better exhorter. So we're going to talk a lot about healing. We're going to cover a lot of scriptures, but just know that's my heart. So we're going to kick things off tonight talking about the healer. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 8, and you're going to probably write these down because we're going to go all over the place tonight. But Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, and go announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he gives this command to all the disciples, all the apostles, which is also for you and I. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. So here's a big command for us, that he sent them out to go and heal the sick, and he also commanded them to raise the dead. I think that's why he said started with heal the sick, because raise the dead seems a little bit more, takes a little bit more muscle on that. But it is. There's something. We're called to do this. Cast out demons. And we're not, tonight's about divine healing. I'm not going to get into that. But I'll tell you, growing up in church, in an Assembly of God church, I have seen some wild and crazy stuff. But I have seen demonic spirits cast out of people and seen what happens with that. And we've prayed and been a part of that. And I always thought, as the world has gotten along, I guess we've gotten better because you don't see that as much, right? No, what it probably means is that there's probably not as much power being represented in the church. And I think God's power is still real, but we've lost our dependence upon the power and the authority of God. We live in a culture and we live in a nation where if you're sick, if you have no money, you can go. They have to take you, and they can't just turn you away. So you go, you get health care, even if it's just the minimal. You get some kind of health care. And so we had the dependency a lot of times upon people or upon man, upon a physician, upon a health care system rather than in our healer. Now, God gave us physicians. I'm thankful for the doctors and the nurses and the physical therapists and assistants and all those people. But wouldn't it be great if instead of going and picking up and calling the doctor first, you could call on God and you could say, Lord, I'm not feeling well. But before I pick up a bottle of aspirin and Advil, before I call the doctor, now if you cut your hand off, go straight to the doctor. Don't pause. Go right away. Head there immediately. But pray on the way. But you know, I think that so many times we lost because our reliance upon the divine creator, the one who is everything. Listen, God doesn't want to just be a crutch for you. He wants to be a stretcher. He wants you to fully rely on him, just not every once in a while. It's the idea that we give everything to him. And in Psalms chapter 103, verse 1 through 3, he starts out with praise. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord with all my, or with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. And we're going to get all into this a little bit later, but the reason why you'll see so many times through scriptures that he's the God that forgives our sins and heals our diseases, and the reason why Jesus so many times when people came for healing, the very first thing he did is he says, your sins are forgiven, is because he actually paid for our healing in the atonement at the cross. Our healing came at the atonement when he gave his blood and he took stripes upon his back for our healing. There was a price paid, and we'll talk about the curse that sin brought was sickness and many other things. That's why we needed Jesus to go to the cross for our salvation, but he also went there for our healing. And I am a product of a miracle. I am a product. I don't just believe this and preach this like some kind of wild man who just read a bunch of things and get fired up. But personally, I grew up with severe asthma. I'm talking about severe asthma. If anybody has a kid with asthma, you know it's bad. If you've got a kid with severe asthma, it's rough. I would wake up in the middle of the night coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing and coughing and couldn't catch my breath and have breathing treatments in the middle of the night. They'd take me to the hospital. I'd have to stay in the hospital for a few days as they were trying to figure out what to do because it was such a severe asthma. Everything set it off. They did one of those allergy tests. If you don't know what that is, well, when you're a kid, it's like torture because they lay you on a table and they say, let's see how many pins we can stick in the back of this kid and take the blood samples, and they do all this stuff. And evidently, I'm allergic to everything. I'm allergic to grass. I'm allergic to food. I'm allergic to air. I'm allergic to pollen. I was allergic to everything. And so everything set me off. And you know, every curse came with a blessing. I could also fake coughing because I coughed so much. So I'd get out of class when I didn't want to be in there too long. So it probably didn't help either. I would just go, and they go, oh, you got such a deep cough. Do you need some water, Brian? And so they'd let me out of class. But it was really bad, and I'll never forget. We were at a church service where a missionary from Russia, that was in Russia when the Iron Curtain, all that stuff was still going on. It was very tense to be there. They couldn't even tell people they were there. And I remember literally this woman missionary came across and says, I just feel the presence of God. She went like this, didn't lay a hand on anybody. And it's just like cordwood. We just all kind of fell out. And whether you believe in falling out in the Spirit or not, it doesn't matter. I was standing and then I wasn't. Doesn't matter what you believe, you know, I'm just telling you what happened. I believe it, and I was smooth out. But when I got up, never had asthma again. Totally healed of God. And I can tell you instances where God has healed back and different issues. Where Sandra and I have prayed over our kids and believed God for healing when things were going on. But I am a product of severe asthma, healed, now doing things that I never thought I would do, all because God's presence healed me. Then growing up, not only did I see the healing power in church, but I also worked for a guy that younger people don't know the name, but if you're older than me, you're going to know the name. I worked for a guy named R.W. Shambach who did tent revivals all over the United States and around the world, and he had a big healing ministry. He actually followed a guy by the name of A.E. Allen who had a great miracle thing too. And so he actually was, if you ever watched a video of A.E. Allen, he said, let's get to the scriptures, Pastor Brown. I'm getting there. I've got a reason. I'm building here. But A.A. Allen was a great healing evangelist. And before each time he preached, there was this guy got up. If you watch A.A. Allen videos, and he says, God's man of faith and power, A.A. Allen. That was R.W. Shambach. And then he took over when A.A. Allen was no more. And just a powerful ministry. And he was right there in East Texas where I'm from. And so I literally got to see and hear, experience things and see things that legs growing back, people getting up, people getting called stretchers. They would, at the tent revivals that he would do, they would put on the radio, if you'll pay for your ambulance ride here, if you're not healed, we'll pay for your ambulance ride home. That takes faith. And from my recollection, what I remember what they told me is they never once had to pay for the ambulance ride home. That God healed. There was such a move of God and such a powerful faith and believing what God could do it. And so I tell you this because as we get in Scripture, I want you to know that some things are better felt than told. It's hard to believe in healing when you're struggling. It's hard to believe in healing when you have never had it and you're struggling with sicknesses and cancer and diseases. It's hard to believe it, but I'm telling you, when you've been there and you've experienced it and you've seen the hand of God move and you've seen the mighty work of God, all of a sudden something builds up your faith and you're like, I don't care what you say. I'm like the blind man. I'm like the, you know, I was blind, now I can see. Whether he's the son of God, I'm just telling you, I can tell you my experience, and you can't argue my experience because I know what happened to me. You know, you remember that old song, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Well, I was there when it happened. And whether you were or not, I know. And if we were to have people start telling their testimony of God's healing, we have people in this room that's been healed of cancer. We've seen God do miraculous signs and heal bones and back pain and heart disease. There is miracles literally all over this church. And so that's the reason why we believe in healing on a personal level. But on a scriptural level, you dive into this and it says, why should we expect to be healed? Because God declares that he is the healer. God, by his very nature, is a healing God. Satan, on the other hand, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life, and in that life you might have it more abundantly. So he wants you to not only live, but he wants you to really live. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and just about anyone who talks about healing will use this verse because it's one of the times where he first talks about him being the God that heals. He says, in verse 26, he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, in other words, he said in his sight, not your sight, obeying his commands and keeping his decrees, and then I will not make you suffer of any of the disease that I have sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now here he is. He's first declaring. He comes up to the people when all these things are happening. He says, I am the God that heals you. I am the God. I'm the one. If you depend upon me, you rest in me, trust in what I'm saying, listen carefully to what I'm telling you, I'm the God that heals. And in this verse, in the very part where he says, I'm the Lord that heals you, he uses a word that in your study, you dive in, it's a compound word. It means Jehovah Rapha. We sang about it just a while ago. Thank you, Sister Talisa. And it means the Lord that heals. He's Jehovah Rapha. And if you study the names of God, let me tell you, you could study on for ages. He's Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Gapha. But in Jehovah Rapha, he is the God that heals. That's what he is. And that compound name represents each one of God's character. And in this situation, he's declaring that in his character, he's a healing God. He's a healing God. So from the very beginning, Rapha is the only word for healing in the Old Testament, except in Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 21. Rapha is used 58 times in the Old Testament, and Rapha is also a technical word that they use for physician. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 2, it says, and then Joseph told the physicians who served him to embalm his father's body so that Jacob was embalmed, and uses that word again, Jehovah Rapha. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12, he says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Oops. Don't you hate when that happens? A serious foot disease. Yet, with the severity of his diseases, he did not seek the Lord's help but turned to his physicians. But my favorite in the New Living Translation, it says it so well. Job chapter 13, verse 4, he says this, he's using again that terminology, Jehovah Rapha, or he's using Rapha, not Jehovah right there, but Rapha, he's just talking about the healing. He says, as for you, yeah, you get it, right? As physicians, you are worthless quacks. Praise the Lord for the New Living Translation. I felt that way sometimes. But So there was a reason, but he used all that. But then in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, he says, is there no medicine or no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? And so this word is used several times, but it's also used in the word Rapha is actually used in the word for physicians. But when he uses Jehovah Rapha, he's saying, I'm your great physician. I'm your healer. I'm the one. This is my character, and it's my desire as your healing God to come and heal you. So the covenant of healing, it was part of God's covenant with his people if they obeyed him, that he would take away their sicknesses from their diseases. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, it says, you must serve only the Lord your God, and if you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illnesses. He's a God that wants to protect us and heal us from illnesses and diseases. I don't know about you, but if I was struggling, I would be praying, God, you said you're the God who protects me of illnesses. I don't think we pray the scriptures enough. And I'm a little ADHD tonight because I just feel like there's so much you want to cover as you get into this stuff. But when you talk about healing, so many times we want God to be a genie. We want to rub our Bible a certain way and say, Jesus, and then walk away and then say, you didn't do what I told you to do. Well, of course not. He's not under your authority. You're under his. We need to make our requests known, but we also need to be able to call upon his promises. His words are still yes and amen. We can still trust every word that he says. So sometimes when you dive into the word, you've got to trust the scriptures and you've got to say, Lord, it's not me, but Lord, you promised that you would heal me. You said you'd deliver me. So Lord, I'm calling upon you, and begin to pray the scriptures and say, you know, begin to call out those things. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13 through 15, he goes on and all the way down to verse 15. Just skip down there. And he says, and the Lord will protect you from all sicknesses, and he will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will infect those upon your enemies. He's the God. He won't, but you've got to lean fully upon him. He's a God all the way through the Old Testament that promised protection from sicknesses, protection from illnesses, and protection from all these things. And he says all along these ways that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. God has always been a God who healed. Five times in the Old Testament, God healed barren women. Four times in the Old Testament, he healed plagues brought on by sin, healed Moses, Miriam, and Naaman the leper. Three times in the Old Testament, he raised the dead. At least six other instances of healing in the Old Testament, with two of them being over thousands of people at one time. In total, he did 16 individual healings, 7 mass healings, and 23 separate accounts of healing. He's a God that healed through the entire Old Testament. There's a basis. It was in God's nature from the very beginning. And we're about to get into why there's a promise for healing for you and I today. But I'm going to skip over the next one. I'm going to go right to Christ's atonement because I'm going to run out of time. That's what it feels like you, Pastor John, last week when you were trying to get through it all. But so Christ atoned for our sicknesses. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they lived in the perfect world where there was no sicknesses. And so when they lived in this perfect world and all of a sudden the sin, it caused all these things. The sin brought on all these bad things in society. It brought on broken homes, addictions, crime, hate, prejudice, lust, all these things, violence, and even sickness came. Because why? Because in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin until they rebelled against God, and there was sin. And when they did, a curse fell upon mankind. But there was no sicknesses in the Garden of Eden. God's perfect plan is that we would walk in perfect health. Matter of fact, that because of the curse and because of sicknesses, because of sin, from the time we're born, we immediately start dying. We start dying from the day we're born. We immediately start proceeding that way. But God's desire, his ultimate plan, his perfect plan at the beginning at creationism is that we would walk in divine perfect health. But then he gave us free will. And boy, did we mess that up. And we like to pick on Adam and Eve because they were the first, but we've been messing up ever since. We have the ability to make right choices and we have the ability to make wrong choices. And I tell you that even today we see people, we all have family, we all have sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, loved ones that we know that know what to do right and they don't, and they're paying the consequences of their sin, of their actions. And so it's that free will. But because of that free will, the curse fell. And because the curse, we find out that the violation of God's law automatically brings a curse, which involves sicknesses and disease. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, all the way through 61, we're not going to read it all, God lays out what he calls the curse of the law. And because of the curse of the law, all these things come in, many which are sicknesses, wasting diseases, madness, fever, blindness, inflammation, fearful plagues, pain boils, severe lingering illnesses, the itch, and festering sores. All these came out of the curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61 says that the curse of the law also included not only diseases and sicknesses that just mentioned, but all the other diseases and sicknesses that ever existed. It talks about all these came because of the curse of the law, because Adam and Eve sinned, because of that, it brought on a curse on all. So what did Christ do with the curse of the law? Well, we know in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. And I know that didn't get the healing just yet, but we ought to say amen right there, because he came, we can be released and we can be free from the curse of the law. When he hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and he took it away by the nailing it to the cross. We were able to be free from the curse of the law because Christ at atonement paid the price. We can have healing. We can claim healing because he came and he took away the curse. And part of that curse is sickness, diseases, is all these things. And that's why whenever he was headed to the cross, he had to go by the way of Pilate, who sent him to be flogged and took 39, the Bible actually says 40 stripes minus one, which is 39 stripes. And I read one time, this was several years ago, I'd love to see if they still believe that every disease streams from 39 specific illnesses or diseases. Every one is a byline straight from that thing. I thought, man, that's really interesting. I wonder if that holds true over time. But isn't it powerful to know that it's by his stripes, as we're going to talk about in Isaiah in just a minute, that we really are healed. Healed. It's a promise. By his stripes, we are healed. Christ's atonement for sickness. Some try to say that Jesus' atonement only existed for our soul, but the Bible says it's so much more. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, says that that evening that many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and he cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. It's always amazing to me that we kind of define that he picks and chooses, but how many times do we see that Jesus stepped out and he healed them all? He healed them all, and when he healed them, many times in the Word, you find out where the Bible says he made them whole, which means he's not a partway God. He doesn't take away part of the sickness. As a part of it, he made them completely whole, which means whatever it was, whatever was streaming through their body from head to toe, he made them whole. Anyway, he goes on to say that this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah in verse 17, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. When Jesus healed their bodies, they were fully made whole. It was fully what was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 3, it goes on and it says in Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest of grief. Let me just tell you right now, everyone who suffered loss, everyone who's ever felt pain, he carried all our griefs. He took on all the griefs, all the pain that we would ever carry, he carried with him. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. King James says he was despised and rejected of man. Verse 4, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. It was for our healing. This is the purpose. So many times, and if you've watched The Passion of the Christ, you sit back and you watch this horrible scene play out as Jesus is led to the whipping post way before he ever carries the cross, and they literally flog him, and you just think, how could any man endure? Why would it? Here he is, the Son of God, literally could call out, could just say, hey, no more, could call angels, and angels would immediately come down and cease the whole thing. But yet he did it. Why? For our healing. It's for your healing, for my healing. It's for that purpose. And you know, the irony of this whole thing is that while I'm preparing for this message about divine healing, we had sickness hit our staff. One by one, we have Teresa drop out with the stomach virus, who didn't share it with Stephanie, who got the stomach virus. And now my daughter, who also was running a little fever. And you know what? It's always like that. You always start getting ready to do something, and you see it come on. And I told Teresa she couldn't come in. I said, if I get sick, you're staying here from your vacation, and you're preaching. So she stayed away for a day or two. So that worked out great. But that's why it was. It was for our healing. It was for our healing, my healing and your healing. It's something we can claim on. Just about every week when we pray for healing, we always quote Isaiah 53. Because our sin and our sickness was paid for at the atonement. You can go on. It says in verse 8 of Isaiah 53, it says, unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without the descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. Verse 10, let's just go there. It says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hand. It was not just for sin, but also for my sicknesses. He came and he paid the ultimate price. And I've said it times before, if he would have just paid the price for our sin, it would have been more than we deserved. It would have been more than we could ever hope for. He didn't have to, but he said, I don't want them to just be sin-free. I want them to be sick-free. And he paid the price for our sickness. If we don't believe this, then the point of him being flogged and his stripes being on his back were for pointless, and they were for naught. They were for no reason at all. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 goes on and says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Not you will be, because that was in the Old Testament. It's already been done. By his stripes, you are healed. By his wounds, you are healed. Healed. It's already proclaimed. It's what we believe and can carry forth that we have. We have the divine right to call out and believe for healing because the price was already paid. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our diseases. Jesus healed the sick. And he called us to do the same. He called us. He sent us out. Literally, that's what we started out the whole thing in Matthew about, that he sent out the apostles, sent out the disciples. Healing was a significant part of Jesus' ministry. Of the 3,779 verses in the four Gospels, 727, one-fifth of them were devoted to Jesus' healing ministry. One-fifth of his ministry was dedicated to healing the sick. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, he goes on, he says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of illness Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says Jesus traveled through the towns and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of illnesses. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But Jesus knew that what they were planning, so he left the area, and many people followed him, and he healed the sick among them. Matthew 14, 14, Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped out from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Over and over and over, you see throughout the scriptures, he healed the sick. It was part of his ministry. In Matthew 14, verse 34 through 36, it says, and after they crossed the lake and landed in Gennesaret, when the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the area, and that soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. And they begged him to let the sick touch him, or at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, we'll just skip down to verse 19. It says, everyone tried to touch him because the healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. Literally, Jesus' ministry consumed by healing. He believed it. Healing power constantly just exuded from him. Even to the point where the woman with the issue of blood, when she got near him and touched the hem of his garment, the fringe of his robe, literally he said, who touched me? And they're like, who touched you? He says, I know, because healing virtue went out from me. It was completely part of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus commissioned others to do the same. He told the 12 disciples to go out and heal. 70 others were told to heal the sick in Luke chapter 10, verse 9. He told all believers to do it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. He said all believers to go out. Regular people also healed the sick. Uncommissioned disciples in Mark chapter 9, verse 38, who were casting out demons and healing the sick in Jesus' name. And the disciples said, you need to stop that. You're not one of us. And Jesus said, let them do it anyway. They were upset because they were doing this and casting out devils in Jesus' name. Ananias of Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, we see where Paul, who just had scales put on his eyes as he was Saul and had the road where he met Jesus, and Ananias came out and healed him, and the scales fell off of Paul's eyes. Philip healed in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, did many miracles. Stephen did many miracles in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. The elders James wrote about in James chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, they went out and did many miracles. And in 1 Corinthians, he was talking to the Corinthians church in 12, verse 28. He says, God has set in the church the gifts of healing, where he talks about the different gifts. And he goes on, he says, and he said in the church, the gift of healing. It's something that we stand for, we believe in. It's what's been given to his church. Who's the church? It's not this building. As though it's nice and we've got nice things, it's not the building. You're his church. I'm part of his church. It's been given, that gift of healing has been given to us, his church, his body, his ecclesia. Let me just kind of wrap it up. I'm going to hand out these things. Let me just tell you that God wants us to heal. And sometimes we get so frustrated. And I could have covered a lot more scriptures where he says, call for the elders of the church and heal them. He talks about with the anointing of oil. He talks about Paul literally walking by and his shadow falling on people and them getting healed. He talks about Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons and why we pray for. We could go through the whole list, but we would be here all night because it's almost 8 o'clock and I'm just touching the fringe. That's why I'm going to give you homework. But it's getting frustrating. And so as I was thinking about people who've been praying for a long time, especially for long-term diseases, this verse came to my mind, and so I thought I'd kind of throw it here towards the end. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 36, he says this, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Sometimes you, when you're frustrated, and you've been dealing with a long-term sickness, and it's tough. Saunders' dad has been dealing with a long-term sickness, and he gets down. Here's a pastor for many years, one of the men of faith that when I talk about mentors when I was a teenager who prayed and saw people healed and delivered, had a great, tremendous healing ministry with Saunders' dad. And here's a man who's got a disease, can barely get on, gets down, has these highs and then has these lows. This is what we have to do. We got to remember to not lose confidence and don't lose trust. Got to keep trusting because God's still faithful. God, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Because I believe that he wants to do. Jesus has called us to heal and do the same. But sometimes it's hard when you get a little frustrated, when you've been praying for something and you don't see the results. And you know what? I know that we've been promised divine healing. I can't begin to tell you, and there's a lot of things out there if you want to look, search, and do a study on why people don't get healed. But I will tell you that Jesus healed people who didn't have faith. The man with the was brought in by some friends. He couldn't get to Jesus, so they lowered him down. He couldn't even walk, so his friends brought him and lowered him down. He didn't have faith. His friends had faith, but he didn't have faith. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And that's when they looked at him funny and said, what do you mean his sins are forgiven? And he says, well, you think that's easy. Do you think it's easier to forgive someone's sin? Or do you think it's easier to heal somebody? But since it's just for your good, get up and walk. And so he got up and walked. We've seen a lot of different variations. I can't tell you the key. All I can tell you this, if you have a need, you're a candidate for a miracle. If you have a need, good news is you're a candidate for a miracle. And we just got to trust and believe God and know that he's faithful for whatever way he chooses to do that. I can tell you that when I was a kid, of course, growing up, I struggled with asthma for a long time, and I remember as a little kid, before I even had any knowledge, that my parents would bring me before the pastor and the whole church would pray for me because I'd be having a severe asthma attack in the middle of church. Nothing happened. And I could tell you several times it happened, but there was something significant. And maybe it was my age, maybe it was so that I would remember, because if I was a kid, maybe I wouldn't have remembered if it had been too soon. But as a teenager, just being a young teenager, I remember that healing, and it changed my physical life, which directed my spiritual life as I was walking. I can't tell you if that's the reason or what. I can just tell you they prayed many times, but there's just that one time, and that's all it took. So all I can tell you is that if I would say, how many of you know someone who's got cancer? Everybody would probably raise their hand, because everybody knows someone that's fighting cancer. If I said, how many people know someone that's really having heart problems and they don't know what they're going to do, they need a healing, everybody raise their hand. How many know someone who's got a severe disease? We'd all do it. I can't tell you what the key is, but I can tell you this, that he is the healer and that he's been promised this divine healing. And if we'll keep praying this. So I remember seeing Joel Osteen's mom. And whether you think a lot of Joel or not, I'll tell you, his daddy, everybody remembers John Osteen. And his wife had battled cancer for several years. And I remember she took a whole key scriptures, you can find those online as well, where she just prayed the scriptures and prayed a bunch, believing for cancer, and God healed her of cancer. I think sometimes you just got to get to the place where you say, God, I can't do this. I can't lean on myself anymore, but I'm trusting you. And I'll tell you, there's a power in healing. I've seen people healed. I've prayed for people and seen people healed, and I prayed for people and they didn't get healed. But I'll tell you this, I want to trust the Lord. Tonight, before you leave, I want everybody to have an opportunity to grab one of these. And I want everybody, you know what, I'll just do this right now. Hey, Bobby, will you help pass out? This is the Assembly of God stance, and will you help also Vincent? Vince is going to hand out the prayer scriptures you can pray over. But I'll tell you, as we wrap up, here's what I want to do. And it's just getting about that time. Your kids are fine. They're not going to go nuts yet. But I just think it'd be kind of crazy for us to talk about divine healing and not give people a chance to be prayed for. So after they get their hands out, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask anybody who needs a prayer, you need a touch in your body, I want to invite you to come up here. And then what I'm going to ask next, I'm going to ask some believing church people, fellow believers, followers of Christ, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, to come and stand behind you and pray with you. And we're going to believe. We're going to anoint with oil. And we're going to believe God for a healing. Because I'll tell you, I'm a product of healing. And the reason why I believe in healing is because I've seen it. I've seen it in my, I've experienced it, and I've seen it. I've seen it through a guy named R.W. Shambach and by a guy named Gerald Shaver. I've seen it. And you'd be surprised, as Saunders' dad wasn't going around preaching very much, and he just had this little trade shop, this little old junk shop, and you go in there, and it's not much of anything. Some people would go to shop, but there'd be every once in a while somebody just stop by and say, Brother Shaver, I just came by, I just need you to pray for me. And even today when he's barely getting around, there's people who want him to pray for him because God used him and flowed through him to heal many people. And I want to be like that. I want to see God do great things and heal things, because here's what we know. Healing is a great sign to the unbeliever. That's what Jesus said whenever, for the example I gave a while ago, that he said that the reason why he healed him is so that many of you would believe. Can you imagine someone that you've seen face and struggle with sickness for a long time, all of a sudden you're healed, and you go back and said, yeah, I don't have cancer anymore. Yeah, that back problem, look at me, I'm ready to go. Hey, boss, put me back to work, I'm ready to go. What an example that would be. What a powerful showing, because people who knew, you got to imagine, when that guy was blind, begging by the road for all his life, born blind from birth, can you imagine once he was healed, how he went around, what people must have said? We know the example of the woman at the well. When Jesus called her out, she said, come meet a man. And everybody says, if this woman's saying you better come meet him, we all better go show up. And the whole town showed up to meet Jesus because what Jesus did just in that first encounter with that woman. Can you imagine what would happen if people just started getting healed left and right here at this church? What God would do, it would be such a powerful thing. Listen, I don't know what's going on at that church, but I'll tell you, people are getting healed. People are getting saved. People are getting delivered. There's people going in there struggling with tobacco. They're getting delivered of tobacco. They're alcoholics. They're no longer alcoholics. There are people that just, can you imagine? People that abuse their wives. You don't think there's still devils out there? Let me tell you, there's still devils out there. People who abuse their wives, all of a sudden being delivered, and all of a sudden they're the nicest, sweetest man, never treated their family even better. Because why? Because God delivered them. Can you imagine what kind of testimony that would be for a world that is so dark and so unbelieving right now? Because this world is looking for signs. You don't believe it? Turn on your TV guide when you get home and see how many things are about vampires and werewolves and witches and warlocks. You don't believe they're looking for something? Just turn on your TV guide and see what the most popular TV shows out there are right now, because people are looking for something supernatural. And here we are, we have the real supernatural event, and we keep it to ourselves and bottle it up when it is meant to be shared to a lost and dying world.